This is 105.9 Bishop FM.
This afternoon we have a guest with us, Dr. Smart. Good afternoon to yourself.
And afternoon. We
have Dennis stayed with us a little while longer this afternoon because it's going to be... It's really interesting. We were given some information about a Fit for Work programme that's going to be launched in Durham. It's Southwest Durham?
Well, I think it actually is going to cover the whole of Durham, Darlington and Tees area.
Right, yeah.
In fact, it's intended really to cover the whole country eventually.
So are you doing the primary project to see if it's going to roll out?
No, I think that's already been done. So this is the beginning of the rollout that we're looking at now.
Fantastic.
Although you may find that your next guest, who's the national lead on this, can perhaps give you some slightly more accurate information about that bit of it.
So Fit for Work, then, how's it actually going to work for you as a GP, David?
Well, if I've got a patient who's either been off work for a significant length of time or looks as if they might be as a result of a particular illness, then I can refer them into this service so that they can obtain more expert occupational health advice than perhaps myself as a GP would be able to offer them. And the upshot of that should be that they can plan their return to work far more effectively, and also perhaps boost their own confidence about getting back to work, and that because some people, once they've been off for a certain length of time, it becomes more difficult to get back. You maybe get a bit rusty, or perhaps you feel that the job that you were doing actually contributed in some way to the illness that required your absence in the first place. So these people will be able to work with my patient and hopefully boost their confidence about resuming work on a planned basis.
So what will they be able to offer, or what will Fit for Work be able to offer that a GP doesn't offer now?
Well, I think just that sort of expert occupational health understanding, because although we've traditionally had a role where we have certified illness for work purposes, most GPs don't have much in the way of occupational health background. So really, you know, I suppose to a certain extent, we're using our medical understanding and a degree of common sense when it comes to establishing how long people should be off work with a particular condition and when they should be thinking about getting back and in what circumstances.
Now, the patient themselves have to be referred by you, but you can't refer them without their permission, that's it, right?
That is my understanding of the situation. Yes, this is an entirely voluntary arrangement which runs in parallel with the existing arrangements around fit notes, etc. So if someone didn't want to access the service, they wouldn't be under any obligation to.
And it's predominantly for small and medium-sized employers at the moment?
Yeah, the small and medium-sized enterprises are less likely to have their own occupational health services. So I would guess they will benefit from it the most, because obviously they will then be able to access a fairly expert report. They should get a much better understanding of how long a person's illness is likely to keep them off work, the extent to which they might be affected when they do come back to work, and what sort of modifications to their job would be required, all of that sort of information.
And it's not going to be contribution-based from the employers at all? Is it all just government-based at the moment?
No, I understand that it's entirely government-funded.
But again,
the national lead might be able to tell you a little bit more about that.
It would be interesting to find out, especially if it's going to help people to return to work or stay within their role.
Absolutely, yeah. As I say, from my point of view, the other advantage is that it leaves me to focus on what's actually wrong with the patient and getting them better, rather than having a protracted conversation about whether they should or shouldn't be going back to work or not.
Now, is this totally aimed at people that are actually in work but are off work? So if there's somebody that's off sick but they haven't got a job, this is not aimed at them. This is only aimed at people that are actually physically got a job and we need to get them back into employment.
I think principally it's aimed at people who are in work, become unwell and unable to do their job, And then are looking as if they might be off for quite some length of time. And the idea really is just to examine that situation in more depth and hopefully find a way, possibly negotiating with the employer themselves, that the patient can get back to either their own job or a modified version of it, which takes account of the incapacity that they've got.
So this will cut sickness pay down, this will cut really time for employers that are going to be missing that person then?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, obviously there are huge benefits to employers, but there are to patients as well. And long-term absence from work is expensive. If you're in a well-paid job, you will probably find that your socio-economic circumstances are quite significantly affected by a long-term absence.
There seems to be a four-week rule here as well, don't there? You've got to be off work for 4 weeks or more.
Well, you have to be off for 4 weeks or more, or else look as if you're going to be off for more than that length of time. I mean, if I was anticipating that someone was going to have a long absence from work, then I think I can refer into the service before they're actually off for 4 weeks.
I was just going to say, as a practicing your GP yourself, do you not feel that this is going to add additional work to yourself, or is it going to be within the normal constraints of the interview you're going to have with or the person coming to see you anyway, whether you can just then refer them off to the occupational side of looking at their work?
Yeah. Well, I think it will probably be of benefit to me in that sense, because I understand that the referral process into this service is very straightforward, so that's not going to take up too much of my time. At the moment, I'm often seeing people in a routine appointment and trying to deal with both the issue that is affecting their health and the issue about whether or not they're fit for work in the same 10-minute appointment. This ought to give me a little bit longer to actually deal with the health problem and not worry quite so much about the administrative one.
Is it going to put more pressure on our hospitals, though? I mean, the occupational therapy side of it, or is that going to be taken up by local gyms and local companies, or is it going to be referral back to hospital for physio and stuff like that?
Well, this isn't really about treatment as such. It's not actually about occupational therapy. It's occupational health, which is really just people who have a degree of expertise in how a particular form of employment would affect someone's health, or how someone's disability might affect their performance in a particular job. So it doesn't actually involve any direct therapeutic intervention at all.
It sounds nice that you're going back to the holistic view of the patients again and looking at their total welfare, not just dealing when they walk in the door with the initial problem that they've walked in with.
Sure. And in a number of instances, it will make it easier for me to be much more the patient's advocate than I might otherwise be if I'm at the same time thinking that perhaps they should be getting back to work and being more sort of involved in the discussion about that than the problem that I should be dealing with, which is really what's wrong with them.
Can it cover physical and mental well-being?
I understand that it can, yes.
Right, that's a good side. Excellent. Shall we take a short break for now, and then we have Dr. Thaver. Nice to have a chat with him to see what his side of it is, and then we can come back again. So thank you very much for your time, Dr. Smart. It's Ros and Dennis with you on a Friday afternoon. We have Dr. Smart joining us this afternoon, and we're finding out about the Fit for Work programme, which is being launched in Durham. Back to Dennis at the moment.
And nationwide, and yes, and Dr. David Smart is from the North Durham Clinical Commissioning Group. And David, I mean, people that are listening to this who have been long-term sick, I mean, they're probably thinking, oh, well, hang on, this is another way of cutting the employment rate down and the sick rate down. And, you know, it's another way of getting somebody back to work, because at the present moment in time, they go to a job centre, are they fit for work or whatever? So there's going to be some crossover period here where, hang on, where do I go? I mean, GP is the first call on this, is it?
Yes, that's right. I mean, this is a service which will take referrals from GPs. I don't think it's intended that there would be any degree of compulsion. As far as I'm aware, it's an entirely voluntary arrangement. If you have been on long-term sick, then sometimes there are a number of barriers that prevent you from getting back to work, and confidence being not the least of those. And I think for everyone's point of view, as long as the work that you're doing doesn't directly aggravate the condition or delay your recovery from a medical condition, then from an economic and a social point of view, then I think work is therapeutic for most people. So if you have been off for a long period of time, I think this is a service which ought to allow you to improve your situation.
So it should be an ideal way of getting yourself back to work and getting off long-term sick, which is the whole idea of the whole thing in the first place.
It is, yes. I don't think being on long-term absence from work is a good thing for anybody. And if this service can improve people's confidence about their ability to work, or even sort of give them a plan to get back to the job that they were doing before in a way that they hadn't perhaps previously envisaged, then I think it'll be very effective.
What role would you like to see employees take in this? Because it's going to be very important that they come on board with this fit for work as well. So they may have to make adjustments at work, may have to get special chairs, they may have to have windows that are not opened if people suffer from, you know, drafts and it affects them with pain. So they may have to buy special equipment that will allow that person back to work. Is there funding there for things like that?
I don't think this service is providing that funding. No, I think that would still remain the responsibility of the employer. But what this service will do is advise them very accurately about what they do need to make provision for, so they perhaps won't be investing in anything that is unnecessary in those same circumstances.
I think it's nice that the help and support network is going to develop, and that's often what a lot of people that are unwell need, because they don't feel they have that in approaching their employer themselves. So to have someone through occupational health doing that with them, I think will be a great boundary breaker.
Yes, that's right. I mean, you're effectively going to have an intermediary between
yes.
yourself and the and your employer, and one who is in a very expert position to negotiate with your employer to make your job doable for you in the particular circumstances that you find yourself in.
And the employer is going to have to help here, because, I mean, I found it certainly in my circumstances. I was very fortunate. I worked for the health service and they were very good to me. And excellent, and I'm sure there's many employers that are the same. So what you look at the employer, well, hang on, that employer definitely is a benefit to me, although they've had a bit of unfortunate, they've been ill recently, that's made the circumstances slightly change, but it's still good that this person's still valuable to us.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think it has an advantage all round, really, this service, both from the point of view of the patient, the employer, and the GP.
Excellent. I can only hope that it works to the benefit of not only the GPs, but the people trying to get back to work, that they feel supported to do so now.
Sure.
And that it rolls out now.
Well, it will be good to see how it works, but I certainly feel quite positive about it at the present time.
Well, I wish you all the very best with it, and I hope that anybody that's listening that's been unemployed for some time or maybe been long-term sick, you go to your GP and make use of this very exciting brand-new service, Fit for Work.
Yeah.
It's a project that's in Durham. There is internet and access to obviously get more details at durham.gov.uk, but obviously if they've got any doubts at all, they just have to see their GP.
That sounds right, yeah.
That's
great.
Excellent. What we'll do is, in case people haven't managed to hear all of the interview, we'll put it on our audio boost service and people can listen back and find out a little more. But like we say, the best thing to do is talk to your GP about it at the moment.
That's right.
We can only thank you very much for your time, Dr. Smart, and Dennis as well, you staying with us for that. That's been excellent. But again, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Our next guest, hopefully he's still with us, Dr. Chava.
Yes, hi.
Finally, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me to come and speak to you.
Speak to you about the Fit for Work programme that's been launched in Durham.
That's fantastic, yes, absolutely.
We've spoken to Dr. Smart a little while ago. He was telling us a little about it as well. And we just wanted to get your views of what was happening with the programme.
Yeah, so I didn't hear what Dr. Smart had to say, but maybe I should start from the top. So basically, there's been a growing recognition in medical circles as well as sort of various sort of policy type think circles that that people who are in employment who become unwell have generally been neglected when it comes to supporting them in terms of a holistic approach to getting them back to work. And fundamentally, the objective for a long time has been to try and provide a service which would support somebody who has a job, who becomes unwell, who has their medical problems sorted out, you know, through the normal channels within the NHS, but then has a big question sort of hanging over their head: well, can I go back to work with the condition I've got? Assuming it's something that they've got to live with and manage, and if so, what support can my employer give me in getting back to work? And that's really sort of where the service comes in to try and say, look, you know, we'll make an assessment of your health problems, you know, in line with what your GP and your hospital doctors may have done. We'll speak to your employers if necessary. We'll find out in a lot of detail what your job involves, and we'll then try and find some sensible solutions in terms of giving you good advice on how we can successfully get you back to work. So that's kind of the, in a nutshell, I suppose, what the service is about.
Excellent. And this is available for everyone after about 4 weeks?
Yeah, the service has been commissioned to provide early intervention. So what we know is that between sort of 70-80% of the UK working population work for small and medium-sized companies or organisations. And we know that small and medium-sized organisations have never had the money to commission independent occupational health services. So this kind of fills that gap. And what we know is if somebody is off sick for 4 weeks, the chances of them getting back to work successfully starts to drop. And if they're off work for 6 months, we know statistically that the chances of them ever getting back to work rapidly approaches zero. So the objective of the service is to get in early, provide good quality, sensible intervention at an early point in time, and that's why we're encouraging general practitioners, but also employers, you know, with the patient's consent, to refer people in, and even the patients themselves, or the employee themselves, if they feel that they've got a condition and they may benefit from this, by all means, sort of speak to your GP or speak to your employer about it. You know, there may be a place for a referral to be made.
We have another presenter with us, Dennis, and Dennis has got a few questions he'd like to input as well, if that's okay with yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Please go ahead.
Right, Dr. Thad, this really is totally aimed at those that are in work but off sick only. All right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
sorry. I cut in and interrupted your question.
Okay. No, because I mean, obviously, there's people that have been off sick and haven't got a job. So this is not aimed at them at all. It's only aimed at people that are employed.
Yes, absolutely right. This is meant to be an early intervention occupational health service, because we know that people who are in employment can be supported more easily into keeping their job, which is obviously better for them, better for their employer, and also better for the health service, because we know that people who are employed and are supported in staying in employment generally have more money in their pocket, they're happier, they've got better relationships, they actually present with less disease, and therefore they use much less in terms of NHS resources as well. So there is a win-win for everybody. Unfortunately, the long-term unemployed are a very different group with much more complex health and other needs, and this service is not unfortunately configured for them. I'm sure that there may be things coming along in the future for that particular group, and people are certainly talking about ways of trying to support that group, but at the moment, so this service is very much aimed at employed people who become unwell and are therefore at risk of becoming long-term unemployed, so essentially migrating into that second group that we were talking about.
But you're going to have to rely very much on the patients themselves being voluntarily offered this by the GP. I mean, the GP can't refer them automatically. They have to be given permission from the patient themselves. Is that the way I understand it?
Yes, you're absolutely right. It is a discussion, as one would hope, any good discussion between a good GP and their expectation would be, I mean, these days, I mean, I'm also practicing GP, I practice in a city, London. These days, you know, we talk about patient-centred care as opposed to sort of 50 years ago when, you know, the doctor knew best and the doctor told you what you had to do. So it's meant to be a discussion that involves the patient. It's meant to be a discussion that where the doctor inputs their specialist knowledge and expertise, the patient brings their sort of lived experience, if you like, and there's a dialogue, and hopefully at the end of that dialogue there's something constructive. And one of the options, and it's by no means the only option, one of the options is to say, look, this is something that could potentially benefit you. Would you like to consider it? Just like, you know, you go to a GP and, you know, you might be talking about physiotherapy. You know, nobody's saying physiotherapy is a panacea, it's going to cure, you know, your back pain, for instance, but it may help. So by all means, sort of refer. And I think if you have that sort of conversation with people are, you know, you inform people are usually very happy, in my experience, to go along with it.
Are you going to have to rely a lot, though, on employers as well? Because they might have to make special arrangements for this person to come back to work, whether it be special seating, maybe the desk might have to be a certain height, but they might have to make some medical conditions for this person to come back to work. Have you also sort of figured that into your plans as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I am a doctor, I very much talk to medical colleagues about the programme and the potential benefits to patients and doctors. But certainly another very important bit of that triangle are employers, and certainly GP feedback is, look, it's great, you know, this is really good, we see it, but, you know, if the employers don't play ball, then it's not going to work. And that's absolutely correct. And obviously, the group of businesses that will most benefit from this sort of service will be the small, medium-sized businesses. They don't have human resource departments. They may not be familiar with managing, complex illnesses and things, and they don't have in-house occupational health advice. So I think for a start, it will be useful because it will be able to guide the managers. Because often what's happened in this risk-averse environment, you know, in the era of health and safety, is that if you're a builder, I don't know, and you say you've got back pain, your manager or your line boss or foreman will say, well, actually, okay, you've got back pain, don't want to risk something worse happening to you. So instead of giving you something else to do, they'll just say, right, stay off work. Which is fine if you've got a very generous sick package, but many of these people don't. And that inevitably means that, you know, a 2-week sickness turns into a 4-week to a 6-week to an 8-week sickness. The problem may be niggling on. And instead of saying, look, you know, what we hope to do is step in there and say, look, you know, we recognize you've got a back problem, but, you know, maybe we can advise the employer to redeploy you. You know, you're good with computers, or you're good with numbers, and maybe you can do a job in the office for a little while until the problem gets better. You know, we can give advice on, you know, simple interventions, as you said. You know, raising a seat. That doesn't necessarily mean buying a new seat. It may mean getting a cushion to put under the seat. It may mean adjusting the height of a computer screen or monitor. It may mean allowing more frequent rest breaks. You know, things that people who are not in the game, you know, the occupational medicine sort of human ergonomics game, may not sort of immediately think about, you know, and why should they? So we anticipate many of the interventions will be common sense. You know, they're not going to be earth moving, but if applied in the right sort of way, can actually be very powerful in supporting somebody getting back to work. Another good example, you know, diabetes. You know, a lot of people being diagnosed with diabetes at the moment, common condition, a lot of people on it. But if you drive for a living, for example, and you're on medication which lowers your blood sugar, you know, some people think, oh, there's a risk, you know, especially with that recent case in Glasgow, I think, of, you know, a lorry driver who was blacking out and drove his lorry into the, I forget where it was, but he drove his lorry in and killed some 6 people. You know, this guy had medical conditions. And you know, for those sorts of people, having good occupational advice can be quite powerful.
That's absolutely excellent. Unfortunately, we've run short of time. We're heading towards the news. So basically, we need to recommend that people who are unfortunately off sick need to go to their GPs and seek to use this service.
Yeah, I think it's powerful and a good thing, and it can potentially help people. They lose nothing for it. It's a totally confidential service. They can go through an assessment and decide they don't want to share the outcome with anybody, and that's fine. But yeah, I would certainly encourage people, both doctors, employers, and patients, stroke employees, to really look at it as something that may add some support where they failed to get good advice, particularly in the past.
Well, Dr. Thad, can I, on behalf of everybody here at Bishop FM, wish you all the very best of luck with it, and I hope it's a great success.
Thank you very much for your time.
All right,
cheers.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Thad.
Okay, take care.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.